Okay, let's have a look at this, these verses then, because it's a pretty short section tonight. So if you want to look at that. You've done this before, clearly. This is okay, so this is, as you can see, this is Matthew 7:13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So, that's pretty punchy, isn't it? Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. What we're talking about tonight, basically, this squeaky thing. What we're talking about tonight is choice and attitude. I've got two daughters. And the younger one is called Hannah. And Hannah is part of So A Cappella and the So Collective. So Hannah is a singer and an actor and, you know, does drama and that part of going public, you know. So she's part of that thing. And her husband, Mike, is also an actor, also with going public. And they met at Aberystwyth. They were doing drama at Aberystwyth and you know, they met there. And they said something really interesting about their course mates. So that was quite a few years ago now. And as time has gone, how many years ago would they have done that? About 10 years ago. So in that 10 years since, what they have found, because they've kept in touch with their friends who were on the course with them, who graduated with them, is that really everybody, you know, to get the degree, to get through that, you had to be at a certain level. So there's a certain sort of spectrum of, if you like, ability and quality, if you want, yeah? And so that's, and you know, there's as in every spectrum, as in every group of people, there's some at the front who are really good, and there's other people a bit back, but they're all in that sort of area of being, compared with the general public, really, really amazing at what they do. Now, some of these have gone on to great things. Some of them have gone on to regular TV slots, etc. And some have not. Some have done other stuff. And what they were saying was, the difference was, you know, okay, if you're going to say, you know, chance might make it a part of it and connections, but the key factor is attitude. Some of them, who may not be the most skilled or the most able or did the best or got the best degree, just had the attitude, this is what I am going to do. I am not happy with doing anything else, and I will do whatever it takes. I will move, often as a move to London. It's still the you know, the Cardiff has got a big centre now, and it's growing, but London is the sort of heart of this whole thing, really. I will move. I will live where I need to live. I will do what it takes. I will make sacrifice because I want to make it in this business. And those are the guys, generally, that are getting the parts. They chase it down. They chase it down. Their attitude is, why not me? There it is. And their choice is always into that. That provides a good sort of stepping off point for what Jesus is saying here. What you've got to remember with the Sermon on the Mount, I know I bang on this every time, is that it is to disciples that he is speaking. This is to those that have decided, I'm going to follow Jesus. There's something about that life, I'm going to follow this guy. There's something about what he says. Really, in the sense of moving into a total different place in life, I am going to trust him. I'm going to take a step of trust based on what he did on the cross, based on a step of faith, that he took all the sin, he took everything in my life that would get in the way of me knowing Father God. He took it on the cross, and he offers it as a free gift. I'm going to take that. And so the Sermon on the Mount is to these, it's to disciples. And that's why it's not to the world. It's a ridiculous level of standard. It's incredible. And what he's saying is, to disciples, there are two roads before you. I've always thought that this was speaking, because I had never seen it in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. I'd always thought it was speaking, you know, to people generally. And, you know, make a choice. Go through the wide gate or go through the narrow gate. But I agree. I've been reading a bit on this, and there, commentators will vary. So what I've decided to pin my colors to and say I believe is not every commentator or theologian pastor will say the same. But I've read R.T. Kendall on this, and he's an incredible teacher. And I'm going to quote from him at the end. But his thing is, this is to disciples, and it makes a lot of sense. And I'll tell you why I think that's so. There's another reference. I was saying last week, and I usually say about this, is it's important to get context when you're reading Scripture, and it's important to cross-reference. And so there's another place where he talks about a narrow door. But it's not in the context of him talking to disciples. It's actually when he's out and about doing his stuff, and someone says to him, Lord, are many going to be saved? And he says, basically, there's a narrow door, there's a narrow way, strive to enter. You've got to, you know, make sure that that is where you're going to be, and there's going to be few, you know. Now, here, I don't want to sort of contradict that, but what this is talking about, making the choice here, I want to clarify, when I say, you know, that word strive, to come to Jesus is an act of acceptance. His salvation, the gift that he says, this is yours, this life in me, the life with the Father, knowing peace and joy, it's a gift. We accept that through grace. We can't work that up. One of the comments that came back today, when they do the mission, they say to people, if you die tonight, do you think you'll be in heaven? And one person said, and this is quite common, yeah, I do, because I do a lot of good things. And that's beautiful and wrong. And it's sad because Jesus, you see, there's no good. You can't build a pile of good works from here to Jesus. Jesus is the Lord of glory. You can only accept that you've messed up and you take what he gives you. And if there's anyone here tonight who doesn't know Jesus, I just want to say that it's, yes, there'll be the striving that Jesus talks about in terms of working it out and saying, what is the right path of all these different philosophies and all these different things going on? Work that through, but there comes a point where it is a simple, Jesus, I believe you did this for me. I accept by grace. And everybody goes in. I don't care whether you're a multi-billionaire or the poorest person in the world. I don't care if you're a drug dealer, leader of a Colombian cartel, or you're a holy man. You're going to come to that same place, and that's because to come to Christ, you do go through a door, and it's as wide as one man, Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And you come to the Father through Jesus. He said, there's no other way to the Father but through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. How arrogant to say that a guy could say that. How bonkers. And you look at his life, and maybe you say, God, if you're real, show me through your word, show me. And the Lord begins to open up. So, if you like, there's the gospel message, which I put in the middle of the message for reasons not clear to me. Let's go back to this. If you get decent, they'll put it at the end. But anyway, let's go back to this. So what you've got is the disciples. He's saying to the disciples, there are some of you who are going to go through the broad gate. And there's a broad road. And there's others, you're going to go through a narrow gate. And it's a narrow road. What does the broad and the narrow? The other thing this reminds me of is, you know, when he said about the rich, he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than rich to enter heaven. Now you can work that out on all sorts of different levels, but one of the things is, and this was the heart of the conversation he had with the rich young ruler, was how much do you value your stuff and what you've got? And one of the advantages, if you like, of going through the broad gate is you might be able to bring a lot of stuff with you. You say, oh, I can do this Jesus thing, I can follow Jesus, but I can take everything with me. I can bring a few habits, I can bring all that I live to do with my spare time. I can do, I can just bring everything with me. I can bring all my ambitions. I haven't checked them up with God. I can bring all that with me. And he says a very interesting word. He says, you go through that gate, you go through that, you bring all you want with you. And broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. What does this word destruction mean? Now listen, this is not talking about hell. It's not talking about damnation. It's the word ruined. And this is why he's being, it's beautifully understated. Because he's not gripping you and saying, go through the narrow road. He said, I'm giving you a choice. The word ruined is the same word you get when you have the wineskins. When he said, put the new wine in new wineskins. Because if you put new wine in old wineskins, they will break and they will be ruined. And the wine will be ruined. In other words, it's a waste. And what he's saying is, if you're my disciple, and you live your life trying to do all the stuff of the world, it's a waste. It's almost like a pain in his heart. You know, there was such a pain in Jesus' heart when he could see a situation that he knew could be so much better. Like when he said to Jerusalem, how I've sent you the prophets, I so wanted you to come, you know, into the ways of the Father. And there's almost that to me in this. He said, it's a way of destruction, you'd be ruined. I put my cards on the table. I believe, because of the finished work of the cross, that if you put your faith in Christ, if you, what I would say, make an agreement with Christ through faith, you say, yes, Jesus, I believe in you, then that's it. That's a done deal. That's a finished work. Your salvation is secured. And to me, this is what this speaks of. You're going to be ruined there, but you will still be saved. You will still, you know, that is not dependent, or the work of Christ is not dependent on what you did. Do you see what I'm saying? Because it's a work of grace, and it's a work of, Jesus takes it so seriously when someone says, yeah, I put my trust in you, and you're sealed in the Holy Spirit, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there's all these things that happen. There's about 30 things that happen as you believe in Christ. I'm very reformed, I guess, in that whole area. Because we can't understand how incredible the work of the cross was and what Jesus has done. Absolutely incredible. And then he says, you know, there's the narrow gate. And of course, the narrow gate, by its very definition, to get through it, if you've got lots of luxury goods and luxury bags and everything, they're not going to fit. You're not going to be able to get them through it. So, it's basically, the way I see it, he's looking back at the Sermon on the Mount, and he's saying, if you want to live that, all the stuff that I've said in the Sermon on the Mount, then you need to go through the narrow gate. Attitude is so important. Attitude is so important. We have fallen into the trap. It's all this blasted thing. We have fallen into the trap. I think in the charismatic sort of more sort of, you know, sort of Holy Spirit stuff, sometimes a bit of a wrong view of revival. And the wrong view is that we sit back and wait for God to move. And there's such a balance between doing things, striving and doing things, you know, out of the flesh and saying, oh, this got to be done. And just sitting back totally and saying, well, we'll just wait for God to do it and then everything will be sorted. There's a great quote by Booth, the guy who founded the Salvation Army. I can't remember if it's him or his wife, but him or Catherine Booth. But he said, I am not waiting for a move of God. I am a move of God. I am not waiting for a move of God. I am a move of God. You may think that's a bit cheeky. But you look at his life. Now, you're talking sacrifice. He went through the narrow door. He lived a life of absolute sacrifice. But the effect of that life, him and his wife, in fact, his wife, so much, like if it wasn't for his wife, they were an amazing team. Anyway, it's a fascinating story to read that. Fascinating. But the effect they had on poverty-stricken London was incredible. And God started to bless it as they started to move. So what is important is to find out what the Spirit is saying and then go with that. To see what the Father wants to do and then go with that. But it's a partnership. You cannot just wait and say, I'm waiting for revival. And in Wales, we've got to deal with that thing. It was 100 years ago. It was a fantastic gig. God wants to do something new. He's waiting for hands to go up and say, yeah, I want to be part of what you want to do. Anyway, let me finish with this quote from Artie Kendall. I used to get so confused with my grandparents with all their different sets of glasses. Here we are. I can't see a thing of it now, so I'll do this granddad thing now, right? Okay, you're behaving? Right. What is the narrow way? It's a way of conflict. It means a fight, a struggle. It means to overcome the world, flesh, and the devil. It means overcoming temptation. It means to forgive rather than hold a grudge. It means to be sexually pure, as opposed to falling into sexual sin. It means to respect God's name and not use his name to increase your own credibility. It means to live a life of not judging and pointing the finger. It also means not looking over your shoulder to be seen of men, to be in fear of what people think. It means to put personal integrity above the approval of people, to be willing to face persecution, however fierce. In a word, the narrow way is a way of conflict. Entering the narrow gate is a way of choice. You make a choice between two gates. You can choose the wider gate, a road that most sadly choose. The narrow gate, however, may lead to loneliness. The choice to enter the narrow gate must be a deliberate choice. It is what is done on purpose, carefully, thoughtfully. It is a disciplined choice where you have trained yourself to be obedient. Even Christ learned obedience through suffering. It means self-control, manifesting the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is a daily choice. It is not a one-off issue. It's not an on-off issue. Jesus said in Luke, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. And follow me. We are talking about the way of the cross. This will mean the way of shame. The disciples rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer the shame of his name. It is the way of silence. As a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. It is the way of solitude. All Jesus' disciples forsook him and fled. Enter through the narrow gate, then, is the way Jesus began his application of the Sermon on the Mount. He puts before us a choice between two gates, the narrow and the wide. The right choice is the narrow gate. It is costly when it comes to pride and what God may require us to give up. But it is the best way to live. Which gate have you chosen? Stark. Quite stark. But I do believe that gets to the heart of this. The list there he did was all from the Sermon on the Mount. That's what he was doing. And he was showing, taking us through that. Isn't it amazing the way that God says, I've done it all, I leave it with you now. Tozer, incredible theologian and the one that almost reintroduced the church to the concept of worship, said a person can have as much of God as they want. There's no restriction on this side. See what love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and that he honors us as children by saying you've got a choice, puts it before us. I would encourage you to pray, to look into this. I would encourage you, particularly, you guys, you know, young people, students, in a situation. I'm not putting any pressure on you. Right? I just want to say stuff as I see it here. Living in a culture where the broad gate of what you might say a Christian life, if you like, a life of ease and stuff, would seem unbelievably narrow to what is available. So just by you living your life, you will be challenging people. I would encourage you to ask God for the strength to live that life of differentness. People are looking for that. They're looking for something that's different. They may not even be verbalizing that, but they're looking and they will notice and they will see the people who make the decisions that go against it. And as R.T. Kendall said, it may get ridicule and stuff, but it will have an effect. How do you do this? How are you going to walk this life? It says a life of solitude, and in some ways, he's right. But in other ways, it's really important to have companions. And the first companion is the Holy Spirit. That's why the bit before this, he said, how much more will the Father give the Spirit, give good gifts in Luke, the Holy Spirit, to those who ask. Remember, ask, seek, knock. It's that determination. It's that, yes, I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep seeking God for more of his Spirit. You will need the Holy Spirit to live that life. And you'll need people around you who get you, who you can be accountable to, who you can say, look, I'm going to try and live this way. Can you hold me to account? Not many, just a few. I just pray that God would give them to you. Well, I think that'll do. Yeah, let's pray. I'm not sure what to do now, so I follow the same rule as you all do. When you don't know what to do, it's best to pray. Because you can try stuff, but then you have to pray anyway because you got it wrong, or I do. So let's pray, see what God says. If there's anyone who's got anything, then please share that. We're just going to explore. We're just going to explore a bit about what the Spirit might be doing here. Father, thank you for your word. I give that to you. Would you work that in our hearts, Lord? Watch over it to make it real to us. We don't just want to be hearers. We want to be doers, Lord. We want it to come out in our lives. Father, we come before you as a bunch of children. And say, Lord, what would you like to do? Please guide us, Father. Is there something we go away with, think about? Is there anything you want to do this evening among us, Father? Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. Oh, we thank you, we welcome you, we thank you that you're here. But come, Lord, would you come in power? Would you come in such a way as to bring the Father's will, the Father's heart among us? Would you come in such a way, Father, that the Holy Spirit would be here setting people free, Lord? We pray for your freedom, Father. I ask you to set people free, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Amen.